Labor Day weekend. Happy Labor Day to everybody. Thank you, everybody who's joining us from the comfort of home. We're looking forward to seeing you guys when you're ready to come back. And in the meantime, just ask that you would pray for the church council and the elders. We have to figure out how to do this. We're trying to navigate something that we've never done before, that no one's ever done before, at least in this way, with these unique circumstances and the unique times that we're in. And so we're trying to figure out things. I hope you're enjoying the cushion that you're seated on this morning. Some of you said amen to that. Yeah, so we're going to find a way to rotate those and keep everything safe and sanitary, and trying to figure out, you know, how to do the mask thing. And there's just such an array of opinions and agreements and disagreement, points of agreement and challenge. So we're trying to figure it out. But we thank you for being here this morning, and we thank everybody for joining in, and look forward to the day when we'll all be together again. But it's Labor Day weekend. It's Labor Day. I don't know what I think about some of these American holidays that we celebrate. I just don't know. Everyone, you know, Paul says some people exalt one day above another, you know, and to one person it's holy or sacred, and to another it's not really. But I think we all appreciate labor and those that labor amongst us. I'm sure everybody appreciates an opportunity to have a day off to be with friends and family. That's super. But not everybody will be setting aside their labors tomorrow. Some people will still be working, still be laboring. So we thank them for that and appreciate that. Interestingly, labor is God's design for us. Did you know that? It's God's design. God himself labored. In fact, Genesis 2 said that he planted a garden. God planted a garden. That's exactly what it says. God made the earth and the heavens. He planted a garden. The Lord had planted a garden, but there was no one to work the ground. So God said in verse 15 of Genesis 2, God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. This is before the fall. This is before, you know, work is God's institution. Kicking back and relaxing and being lazy is like my institution, right? That's like after the fall, we're the ones who kind of went that way and said work is a four-letter word. It's something that, no, it's not. It's God's design, actually. So we thank God for the chance to think and to act and to create and to labor. And it's, in fact, evidence of God's design on us because he himself labored. So we thank him for that today. Amongst a host of other things for which we thank God, as we're going to see in Ephesians this morning, that's our call, to be thankful. We're endeavoring to live a life worthy of our high calling as believers, walking as children of light. This is what we've been reading, living lives that are pleasing to the Heavenly Father, making the most of the time with which God has graced us, because the days are evil. Encouraging others, giving grace to others, speaking in psalms to others. Last week we learned that our life song should be sung with our hearts to the Lord. Were you singing with your heart to the Lord this week? We read that psalm at the beginning that the people from the outside will look and say, man, the Lord was with them. God has blessed them. Do people look at us and look at the life song of our hearts and say, something different about them. God is with them. I pray that they do. Who has the deepest affections of our hearts today? Whose praises have we been singing? Were you singing the praises of Wall Street this week? Were you singing the praises of a politician this week? Or maybe you were singing the praises of an apologist or a preacher or a doctrine this week. I'm here to tell you, the scripture says this, that we should be singing and making melody with our hearts to the Lord, not to these other things, not to Wall Street, not to news reports, and not to what are we filling the time that we have to speak. We got to make the most of it. We got to make the most of our opportunities. What are we filling our time with? I pray that word ado, to sing, it means singing the praises of. Pray that we're singing the praises of the Lord in the deepest place of our hearts today. It says, with your heart, with your heart. And that's why that scriptural admonition, guard your heart with all diligence, because from there comes your praise to God. Man, I'm so excited to see some people who I haven't seen in a really long time. Man, It is good to see you. Thank you for being here today. Some of you guys, it's the first time. And bring a tear to my eye. I'm really, really thankful to God. Time is short. The days are evil, the scripture says. So today's the third part in this series of making the most. We're going to look at that from Ephesians 5, verses 20 and 21. And we're going to see this morning in this third session, if we want to be making the most of our time and opportunities, in addition to understanding and being filled with the Holy Spirit, in addition to speaking and singing, speaking to one another in psalms, and singing to the Lord with our hearts, making melody. If we want to make the most of our time, we'll also need to be always giving thanks and submitting to one another. That's what the scripture says to do. In fact, let's read that. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Father in heaven, once again, would you open our hearts? Once again, would you enlighten the eyes of our heart, as it were, to understand and to receive your word? Indeed, Lord, to receive you this morning. In Jesus' name, through the power of your Holy Spirit, let it be. Amen. So let's take the first half of this third final coupling of commands. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. There's so much in this verse. First of all, let's note this, that it isn't a list of to-dos. It's a list of how-tos. It's not just something that we do. And what do I mean by that? Well, this grouping of three couplets, understand and being filled, speaking and singing, giving thanks and submitting to one another, they aren't just arbitrary commands to perform. Oh, here, just go do that. Just perform this and everything will be okay. No, it's not how it works. These are attitudes of the heart and states of being that we're supposed to become, not just something that we do. After all, we're human beings, not human doings, right? And so we're supposed to become these things, to be in this state of being. Anybody can do something once or twice. Anybody. You can train dogs and animals to do all kinds of things, to jump through hoops and perform a trick. But that's not what this is. When a mindset or an attitude of the heart or a beckoning to be, when it becomes our state of being and our identity, then transformation results and our behavior changes. And so we become someone who is being thankful as opposed to just one thing that I did today. Check it off the list, no? He says always being thankful. So all of these how-tos, speaking, singing, giving thanks, each one emanates from that verse 18 in Ephesians 5, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's not just something that we try on our own and just do it once or twice and check it off the list. No, as I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, then being thankful, always giving thanks for all things, is the result. So we're to be giving thanks. When? Always. Not some of the time, not when it's convenient, not when it seems to make sense. Oh, it would make sense. Things are going really well. You should give thanks. Now's a great time for gratitude. It surely is. And so is every other time, a great time. Even today, even in evil days, even with masks on our mouths, it's a great time to give thanks, always. That's what it says. In verse 4, Paul says, when you're tempted to be coarse and unrefined, don't do that, but rather giving thanks. It's worth noting, this is the second time in this chapter. The second time, pay attention to what's repeated in Scripture. Here's a second time that we're encouraged to be thankful, be always giving thanks. And there's a little word in this verse that challenges me, and maybe it'll challenge you before this is over. You ready for it? The word is for. The word is for. Always giving thanks for few things? some things, only the good things, right? Always giving thanks for all things. Is that a typo or something? Is this a problem with the translation? I wondered, and so I looked up 27 different translations, I kid you not, and they all said for. Always giving thanks for all things. How's this possible? Maybe I'll just exit now and you guys figure it out, because I don't know the answer to the question. I know this, it's a challenge to my flesh and to my limited understanding to look around and say, what? Be thankful, always giving thanks for all things. I had a spiritual mentor tell me about 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Paul says, in everything give thanks. That makes a lot more sense to me. In the middle of this, in the middle of stuff that doesn't make sense. Okay, I'll give thanks to God anyway. And I had a mentor say, see, it says in everything. You don't have to be thankful for everything. I don't know what in the world he does with Ephesians 5. Because he says for. He says for, and that's what every translation says. And this must mean what we're supposed to do. And so I wrestled with it this week. Be always thanking God for all things. We got to figure it out. Now, I don't know that I have to thank God that everything happened, that some things happened, some things that are hurtful and challenging and painful and sinful and wrong and hateful. I don't know that we're supposed to do that. Maybe we are. You guys wrestle with this yourselves and tell me where you come to on it. But I know this, we can surely thank him even though it happened. And only God is so great and God is so good that he can redeem even bad things that have happened so that somehow he's glorified and you're edified in it. That's what he says, right? He can work it out so that all these things work together for good. How would my life and the gratitude that I'm supposed to be always giving flow if I really believe that in all these things God can cause it to work together for good? There might be a threat of being thankful for and not just thankful in all things, but we've got to find a way to do it, whether it makes sense to our liberated American 21st century mind and heart or not. I remember talking to a young man who was wrestling with life, wrestling with himself and his own fallenness, and in the middle of it, he was getting down on himself. Have you ever gotten down on yourself? Maybe just me and this kid, I don't know. But if you've ever gotten down on yourself and you realize you've disappointed people, you've hurt people, you've disappointed yourself, anyone ever disappointed yourself? I have. And so he was wrestling, dealing with these disappointments. And I told him, I go through the same thing. I go through the same thing, man. I wrestle with it. I wrestle with disappointments. I wrestle with my fallenness. But the older I get, I tend to see it a little differently today than 20 or 30 years ago. So I tried to encourage this young man that on occasion when he falls, when I see myself falling short or disappointing others, I actually try to thank the Lord for it. I kid you not, and I don't always succeed, but I try to thank God for it. You know why? Because it reminds me that I need him. I can look at my own fallenness or my own folly and say, ah, thank you, Lord, for the reminder. Thank you, God, for all things. You see, when I'm standing up or standing tall in my own eyes, or when we feel like we're succeeding in it, it's easy to forget that I need God. But in the folly of fallenness and the disappointment of life, I'm reminded, and so I can say, thank you for the reminder. Thank you for the reminder. Paul said he prayed 3 times for God to remove the thorn, the weakness from him. Here's what he prayed to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12. He said, I prayed 3 times. I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said, This is God's response to him. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast. He's gone beyond simply being thankful for the reminder. He says, you know what? I'm going to boast about it. I'll boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness. He goes beyond thanking God for this and boasting about this to actually delighting in it. I delight in my weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father who's fond of you. You remember, right? He's fond of me. Or if you want maybe a less personal reminder, look no further than this Friday and the anniversary of 9/11. This Friday marks the 19th anniversary of that difficult day, and many of us promise to never forget, right? You saw these signs and hashtags and slogans, never forget, and I think sometimes we do in spite of those, but I'm thankful for 9/11. Not that it happened, but for what God was able to do even though it happened, in spite of it happening. In the middle of the craziness and the fallout and the death and the uncertainty of this tragedy, somehow it helped to unify people. And I'm not talking about unify people for a military response or rally people around the American flag. I'm talking about how it unified people in the church. This past Tuesday, we had a handful of people gathered out here in the backyard in between the church building and the parsonage. It's nice to be outside. You don't have some of these restrictions that we have indoors. So when we gather for prayer on Tuesday nights, just about every time we've gathered out there, whenever we could, weather permitting. But we had 8 or 9 people gathered there. We were praying for each other. We were crying out to God for the country and for the church body and whatever else was on our hearts and minds as we worship the Lord, just crying out to him because he's worthy. We don't always need to. In fact, most times we shouldn't approach the throne of grace just with a list of things that we'd like God to take care of for us. We should really primarily approach it to exalt him and to honor him for who he is and to commune with him and spend time. And so we do that on Tuesday nights. We take some time to do that. We'll read the Psalms. We'll sing to the Lord. We'll pray for each other. We always have some time to do that, usually at the end. And so we did that this past Tuesday. But on that Tuesday, 19 years ago, the church was packed out on a Tuesday night. Everybody was here praying. People who weren't from the church came to pray on that Tuesday night. And we didn't even have a prayer meeting scheduled. Imagine people coming to the church to pray. There's no prayer meeting scheduled. I think we prayed on Wednesday nights at that time. And so I know Pastor Greg, for one, this was an answer to prayer for him. Thank God for answers to prayer. They don't always come in a way that looks like you'd hope they might come, but all of a sudden, instead of just the handful of people last Tuesday night who were there seeking God and crying out to God and praying for one another, man, there was a church full of people crying out in one voice to God, praying that he would intervene, praying that he would have mercy, always giving thanks to God for all things. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for answered prayers. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for how you can take a tragedy and do something that we couldn't imagine. Thank you, Lord, that you can, in the middle of this thing that we're experiencing, Father, you can do something that we could never imagine, and we believe you for it and are asking you for it, Father. But we're going to be thankful for all things in spite of what's happening. And along with this comes the second half of that final coupling in Ephesians 5. In the same sentence, in the same breath, after saying always giving thanks, he says, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Wow. If you thought giving thanks for all things was hard, how about submitting to one another? I mean, I can see submitting to a God who's holy, a God who's fond of me, a God who loves me and who would never sin against me, but submitting to the person next to me? This character? Are you serious? Here's what he says to do. Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. That Greek word for submitting, or some translations may say subject to one another, that word is hupotasso. It's from two words, hupo, meaning to be under, tasso, meaning to place in a certain order or to arrange things. It's actually a Greek military term, meaning to arrange troops in division or in a military fashion under the command of a leader. Submitting to one another. In non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, of cooperating and assuming responsibility and carrying a burden. And this is what Paul means when he's using this word, submitting to one another, when he's telling the Ephesian church, when he's telling you and me that we should be doing, that we should be being. And he says, in the fear of Christ, in the fear of Christ, in the reverence of Christ, do we regard one another as we would if Christ were present? Because Christ is present. Do we arrange things with one another in order with the same awe and reverence that we would if Christ were here, because he is. This same word is used in Acts 2:43. It says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe as they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We seem to have lost our sense of awe. Perhaps we should be more devoting ourselves to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer than we have been. This past Thursday evening, I had the chance to do all of these things, actually, with the church council for the first time in 2020. We had a face-to-face council meeting. And if you had told me 9 months ago that it would be 9 months before the church council would convene in person to have a face-to-face meeting, I would not have believed you. I simply would have thought you were out of your mind. We've had emails and text messages and Zoom meetings and all these things, but our first face-to-face meeting was this past Thursday, and I have to tell you, it was a beautiful experience. It was a beautiful experience. I can't say that about every council meeting which I've attended over the past 19 years, now going on my 20th year here. I can't say every board meeting or council meeting was one that had that sense of koinonia, fellowship, but it was there this Thursday evening, and I'm thankful for that. We've had some crazy meetings over the years. Pastor Greg could attest, I'm sure. Don't get me wrong, there was business to be tended to. You know, there are questions to be answered, and how do we do this? How do we navigate this? What do finances look like? What is everything going to be in the next 3 months or the next 12 months? What is it going to look like? There was business to attend to. Interesting thing, and everybody has an opinion, right? Everybody has an opinion about how it ought to be or what it should look like, and opinions vary. But beyond that, everybody has a perspective. Aren't you thankful that everybody has a unique perspective? Everyone's unique perspective, when taken together, empowers us to see more than we could see if it was just our own perspective. And in that way, if we're willing to listen to the perspective of another, if we're willing to learn, if we're willing to be submitting ourselves to one another in the fear of Christ, with the reverence that if Christ were here, because he is, Would I be willing to lay down my opinion and my perspective for a minute and long enough just to listen to yours? I'm definitely going to learn something because you can see it from a different perspective than I'd otherwise have if I just had my own. And so we met, and the various matters were under consideration, but the way in which they were decided, deferring to one another, well, wait, let's hear from this person. Wait, what do you think? How do you see this? Listen, it's not always perfect. It's work. There's disagreement. There's a divergence of opinions, but there's a submitting to one another that I witnessed and was able to take part in Thursday night that was beautiful. And the result was unity. And I used to think that unity was when everyone agreed. How short-sighted is that? Oh, we can only have unity if everyone agrees. Absolutely not. We can have unity if everyone, even in the difference of opinion and the divergence of perspectives, comes together and says, you know what, I'm willing to subjugate my own opinion, my own perspective, valid as it may be, to the greater good of what God wants to do here. It's not so important that I'm going to stand here and die on this platform or this pedestal and exalt myself and my perspective so high that I'm going to allow it to be dividing us. And I witnessed Thursday night people saying, listen, I'm willing to lay down my perspective. I'm willing to defer to a brother, to a sister. And the result was unity. We can have disagreement. We can have diversity of perspective. And we can still have unity. For the sake of this unit, I'll lay down my ideas. For the sake of community, I'll be willing to hear these perspectives. Always giving thanks and submitting to one another. Do we have any illusions that those guys last week in that SEAL training exercise, do we have any illusions that they all thought and believed the same things at the same time? I have no illusions. No illusions that those guys who were up to their necks in mud had unanimity and 100% agreement on everything, but I promise you this, they were all singing. I promise you this, that in the middle of it, somewhere along their training and the challenge that they were facing, they said, you know what, I can't do this alone. I'm going to need this unit. I'm going to need cooperation. And guess what? When they were up to their necks in mud, they were singing together because they had a common objective and there was something they wanted to achieve. They were going to get through this training. They were going to succeed in it with the enemy there. In a sense, the drill sergeants berating them, trying to get them to quit, telling them to go ring the bell. And in the middle of it, up to their necks in mud, there they were singing. And everybody singing who made it through that night with the cold, wet mud and the howling wind, they passed the test. Will we pass the test? And the test isn't to have that triton, to have that worldly, that natural goal. The test for us is a spiritual test of becoming who God, the Father who's fond of us, who He's called us to be always thankful and to be submitting to one another, arranged in order under one commander. I just want to share one final thought here in closing. I always encourage everyone to pay attention to the verbs in Scripture. My primary mentor and Bible teacher encouraged me to do that, and I encourage everybody who's a student of the Bible, pay attention to the verbs, because if you see the verbs in terms of the commands, in terms of what God is speaking to us, we always have a way to respond. Worship is at the heart of responding. Faith and obedience, they're all at the heart of responding. So if we pay attention to the verbs, we have a chance to respond to it. Not a list of things to do, but how to become what we're supposed to become. And so if you want to know how you might respond to the Lord in love and worship and obedience, pay attention to the verbs. And I see two things in all these verbs listed here this morning. Two things that I want us to notice in these past 3 weeks of this series. One is that each of these verbs is present. And each of them is continuous or ongoing. Making the most. Speaking to others. Singing to the Lord. Making melody. It's present right now. Giving thanks. Submitting to one another. In the present. It's not just a one-time thing that's finished or completed after you do it a couple of times. You could do it 1,000 times and it's still not completed. It's present, it's ongoing, and it's only completed when your race is completed. It's only completed when Christ returns or when he calls you home. Till then, we've got to continually be, not just to do, but be making the most of the time, speaking to others, singing to the Lord, making melody in our hearts, giving thanks for all things. We've got to continually be submitting to one another. We can do it for a minute and then all of a sudden stop doing it, and it ends up in argument. It ends up in disunity. It ends up in political debates and foolishness. Or we can say, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to be being filled with the Spirit. Help me to be submitting to one another, to subjugate our own will, our own preference, our own opinion for the sake of the community of believers, and to keep on doing it. Not an easy task and not just something to do, something to become. But there's beauty in it, and I saw a glimpse of it Thursday night. If we're being filled with the Spirit, we'll bear the fruit of the Spirit. And then these things, singing, giving thanks, submitting to one another, will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for the beauty and the gift that is your word. We thank you, Father, for the word of God to man, Jesus Christ, our brother, our Savior, our friend. And we thank you, Jesus, that you said the Father would send the Holy Spirit. And for everyone who asks, you say they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Anyone who asks in the present tense keeps on asking. Anyone who knocks keeps on knocking, keeps on seeking. And so, Father, once again in this moment, in the present tense, we're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking on the door. Lord, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you empower us, Father, to understand what the will of the Lord is, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be speaking to one another in the way that we should be speaking to one another, to allow our life song to sing and make melody from our hearts, with our hearts to you, Father. Being always thankful in all things and submitting to one another. Is it possible, Lord? It's only possible. It's only possible if you do a miracle, Lord. It's only possible if you have mercy on us. And in this moment, Father, we pray that you'd have mercy. We pray that you would lead us in it. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, and I pray just protection over this word that we've heard and over the hearts and minds, Lord, of those who've heard it. I pray, Lord, it will accomplish everything you sent it to do. I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't be snatched away, choked out, or fall by the wayside, but that it would bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold return. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen? Amen. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. I just want you to go in the love of Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and I pray that you are always giving thanks today and this week and submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Don't forget, he's with you. How would you do? How would you speak? How would you interact with the person next to you? What would you post on social media? What would you email if you knew Christ was there with you? He is there with you. God bless you on your journey today.